station, WCNO Palm City.
They survived by saying, okay, Moish, you're going to make the shoes. And okay, now, you know, and so on. And they stuck together. So because the Jews, this little tiny group of people, and they still are the littlest group of people in the world. I mean, there's two or three billion Muslims. There's only 14 million Jews in the whole world even today. But anyway, so because they stuck together to survive, that's why you felt, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So here I am.
Betraying the people.
And here I am in this church saying, get me out of here. But I made it to the end of the service and left. And I told my wife, I said, don't you ever, ever take me to a place like this ever again.
Yeah.
And anyway, so the whole week goes by. And guess where I was the next Sunday?
Where?
I went back to that church.
Why?
I don't know. The Lord I just felt by the time the week went by, maybe I was analyzing it in my mind. Maybe it wasn't all that bad, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I went back. It wasn't anywhere near as bad the second time I went. But I still felt that I was betraying my people.
Yeah.
And then that's when someone told us, they came up to us, this woman, and she said to us, did you hear about the new Messianic congregation? I said, what's Messianic mean? And she explained to me. I said, really, what is it? And she explained it. And she goes, it's opening up at this, they're opening up, they're starting the first service in a hotel room, in a conference room on the next Saturday. And so, my wife and I.
What timing? They're just opening up.
Yes. First, so my wife and I walked in there for the very first Saturday morning. There's the Jewish, you want to call him Messianic rabbi. He was an Assembly of God pastor who got saved like when he was 19 years old in college. Jewish guy, fully Jewish, but he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he went to the Assembly of God seminary and became an Assembly of God pastor, and completely left his Jewish everything gone.
Yeah. Right?
Until the Lord started knocking on his door, 20 years later, he wanted him to go back to his people, and he goes, huh, "What? You know, go back to your people." And so anyway, so he ended up starting this congregation. So he was there like a fish out of water, almost, for him to some degree. And
they met on
Saturday morning.
I've been to Israel, and Israel celebrates the Sabbath on Saturday.
The biblical Sabbath starts Friday night to Saturday sundown.
Yeah,
that's the biblical Sabbath, and that's what Jews observe today. Some people don't even understand how it ever turned to Sunday, and if you want me to explain that, I will. But there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just telling you how it ended up that way, because it was all anti-Semitic, how Saturday turned
to
Sunday.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Anyway, so both of us, my wife and I, both sat there crying. The two of us. We're home. That's all that I knew. Now, here I am, a brand new believer. If anybody ever told me at that moment that 4.5 years later, you and your wife will be leading this congregation, I would probably ran out the door. It was ridiculous. Even that was like insane. It's not even in my top 1 million things to do in my life, you know?
This is the time that you met me.
Yeah. Well, shortly after that. Yeah.
And by the way, let me just put this in here. This is the man, which is really, really cool. I was at your house. I was devastated from a heartbreak. I mean, never been devastated so much in all my life, worse than a death. And it was true love. And we were in a circle praying, and I felt like I was being sucked down into a vortex spiritually. I just felt so dark, like my life was over. I mean, anyway, there was a man at your house, a stranger to me. And we're in this little, I don't know, there are 5 or 6 of us. You were there. Your wife was there. This man was here. I don't even know his name. We were trying to figure out, you and I, who it was.
I think it was Carlo.
I don't know. But
Carlo Cagieri. Yes, I think it was him.
Well, Carlo sounds Spanish. This guy was not Spanish.
No, he's not Spanish. No.
Oh, okay.
He's Italian.
So this guy puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says this prophetic word. He says, Rhett, he says, the Lord's telling me you're going to move out of New York State. And you're going to move down to Florida, and somewhere outside of Orlando, Florida, you're going to have a radio show. Yeah. Okay. And then I moved on with my life, totally forgetting this prophetic word. And in the meantime, I went to Africa, and then I was flown down to Gerald Erskine's Christian Retreat Center in Florida, and met this lady there, a Catholic lady with 9 kids who knew Jesus. She was a born-again Catholic, charismatic. Said, why don't you come to Haiti and feed the hungry? Thank God I'd already been to Africa, because Haiti just scared the heck out of me. I'd never seen so many poor people living in cardboard boxes. But anyway,
I know.
So I get back. We end up going across the other side of Florida to Vero Beach, Florida. And then I go home. And then next thing you know is I'm driving down 95 to visit my brother a year later in Key West, Florida. Hey, that's that town I was in, stopped in, ended up moving there, ended up singing for the LA Dodgers for the 4th of July celebration. I'm a guest on a radio show. The manager calls me in the next day and says, were you on our station yesterday? I said, yes, is there a problem? He goes, no. He says, we have boring radio and you've got personality. Would you like to be in the radio business? I was on once a week. Then it went to once a day. And then 2 years into it, suddenly I went, oh, my word. That meant the prophetic word that you will move to Florida and somewhere outside of Orlando, you will have a radio show. Now, folks, it's written that no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. But I tell you, this is my testimony. That's the truth. So isn't that wild? Isn't that you were part of that? And I want to thank
you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always thought of,
I mean, I talked about you all my life.
That's hysterical.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy how things work out.
Roll out the toilet. That was because somebody in your family had like an injury and they had a toilet and they brought it through the living room. So I started making up this song, roll out the toilet, roll out the toilet today. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, the one I remember the most from you is Don't Burn My Flag If You Want to Be My Friend.
Yeah. I wrote that for George Bush. Yeah. See?
Yeah. Yeah. That was wild. Yep. Anyway, so we went to this congregation for a few years, and I became like kind of like the pastor's right hand person. Anyway, so he said to me, "Would you be open to teaching a Bible study at your home?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm not interested in doing that." I said, first of all, I don't know enough to even begin to start thinking about teaching. And then someone told me that teachers in the Bible are doubly responsible, you know. Yeah. And so I said, "No." I said, he goes, "But I think you should do it." And I said, "Well," I told him, I said, "You know, I know you do, but I don't." He goes, "Well, pray about it." And you know, anyway, so several months go by, and he asked me again. He goes, "Would you be willing to start one now and try it at least?" I said, "All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try it. I'll do one at my house and let's see what happens." So I guess about, I don't know, 10, 12, I forgot how many people, 10 people, I guess, showed up. And I taught on Romans 11. I taught on the Jew and Gentile, the Ephesians 2, one new man. I taught on all of that, and everybody loved it. They wanted to come back a second time. And before you know it, they came back the next week. The next thing you know, I got 25 or 30 people in my house.
They say that I remember I got to have breakfast with the guy who started Calvary Chapels, and Chuck, Pastor Chuck. And yeah, he had said on the radio one time, "If you would learn something, teach it." I thought, "What? If you would learn something, teach." In other words, let's say you said, "Rhett, I want you to talk to 100 people next Saturday about ties that men wear and where the beginning was and how it all started. Well, I'm going to have to go and study it because I'm going to teach it." And so you have that that responsibility factor. So it makes you may not learn that for yourself, but if you have the responsibility of somebody else, you're going to learn about it. So certainly this is what pulled you in to really eating the scriptures, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, early on, I mean, I was like, I couldn't read it. I was like devouring the word, you know.
Yeah.
And every church service, everywhere we could go early on, we were going everywhere, you know, to wherever we felt God was, that's where we wanted to be, you know. And anyway, so it grew, and my home group, and Stan says, "See what's happening," you know. And anyway, so bottom line is that he felt a calling to move to Israel. And I said, "What? What are you going to do?" He's only had the congregation for a little over four years. And it's just beginning, you know, it's just beginning to blossom a little bit. You know, we maybe at that point maybe had 30 people, 35 people, you know. And anyway, so he said, "So we need to have somebody to replace me." And I said, "So where are we going to?" Now, the Lord spoke to him and said to him, "Get me prepared, because I'm his ticket out of here." And he could never tell me that. He told me that later. He said, I said, "Who's going to replace you?" And he goes, "Well," he says, "I don't know." He said, "I got to find somebody." But he knew it was me, but he couldn't tell me. And he said, "What we're going to do is I want to ask you to come with me, you and Tony. We're going to drive down to Philadelphia. They're having a Messianic rabbis conference. Pastors and rabbis are going to come together, and I'm going to talk to a couple Messianic rabbis down there to see if they're interested in taking this congregation over." And I said, "Okay, that sounds okay. What do you want me there for?" You know, he goes, "Well, I wasn't an elder or anything." He goes, "I just think it's important because, you know, you're a business guy, you know, and you have a good sense of people." And I said, "All right." So my wife and I went down with him. Anyway, so here we are. And all these different classes and going on. It was lunch break. And so everybody was going to this deli, which was a couple blocks away from the congregation. And so I'm talking to this other Messianic leader and his wife from Hawaii, and the four of us are kind of walking together, and somehow we drifted away from everybody else. And the next thing you know, I said, "Well, we have no idea where we even are." So we found a little restaurant, we walked in, and the four of us sat down.